All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 64. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. All right, y'all, back with another episode. I was actually going to do this one last week, but just had a few changes in topics, you know, a couple of things I wanted to switch up here because I kind of switched up the theme of this show. The theme of this episode here kind of switched up just because, you know, we've been dealing with so many things, you know, in the world of combat sports, similar things where, you know, I want to kind of delve into, you know, the darker side, not like the dark, dark side of combat sports, but just some of the things we've been dealing with, you know. So this episode, I want to discuss some things that we've been seeing a lot of in the sport lately in a matter of weeks. You know, I kind of had to shift it, like I said, on what I wanted to talk about and just speak on these things, you know. I always touch on different aspects of a fighter, but this episode, I want to hit on some things that, you know, even some up and coming fighters don't think about and fans never really think of, you know, in general, and the things that fighters, they have to take into consideration if they want to be in this sport for the long haul, you know. So I want to talk about those hardships, you know. Let's talk the hardships of a fighter. I'm probably going to title the episode with that, Hardships of a Fighter. You know, the hardships I want to speak on, you know, there's some of the general ones we see over and over again, you know, some of the ones that we always see. I really want to hit on some of the ones, of course, of today's era, you know, what I'm speaking on. The general ones we see are injuries. We see a lot of injuries all the time. We see people have to pull out of fights because of injuries, weight issues, you know, and not the specific weight issues I want to speak on, but you know, I'll talk about that here in a minute. The pandemic, you know, we're dealing with the pandemic. You know, it's having an effect on the fight world. You know, it's starting to pick back up now. So that's something we got to think of. Also, something that fighters, they have to think about going into fights and, you know, not just having the skills is enough to win a fight, but the judges, you know, there's something you have to worry about, you know. Sadly, you know, when you don't have incompetent judges or judges that might be in the bag, certain things happen, right? So I want to talk about that, man. So, yeah, I'm going to kind of incorporate it all into some of the specific fights that happen. So let's talk about judges first, man. Let's talk about judges first because I want to link it to Velasquez, Keel Holtz, and Maverick and Barber a little bit. So let's talk about Maverick and Barber first, though. You know, last weekend, you know, I think everybody pretty much agreed that Miranda Maverick did enough to win the fight. And this really, like I said, wasn't one of those situations where we can just say, okay, we were picking a favorite to win, because even a lot of people that weren't fans of Miranda Maverick, they had to kind of go back and retract and look at what they saw and see that she did enough to win the fight. So there are going to be situations where we have fights that are close and you got the casual fans saying, oh, it was a close fight, but it was a robbery. You know what I mean? So you're going to have situations like that. But this one here, I think it was a clear cut case of bad judging. Honestly, it was just bad judging and, like I said, incompetence or, you know, being in the bag. And that's something that young fighters got to deal with, you know, like somebody, Miranda Maverick, young prospect trying to climb the ladders. She was in there with an opponent, I believe is someone that, you know, the UFC really wants to hype up. And this came a time when her as a prospect coming in, Miranda Maverick got introduced to something new, you know, a different type of adversity. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just the opponent you have to worry about, it's the judges. Because, you know, if you don't do enough, or if you don't knock your opponent out or submit them and don't leave it in the hands of the judges, things like this happen, you know. And that's why that's something that a lot of people say, because, you know, the judges, they will, if they are in that bag, if they have their way, if they have their hands in it, they decide your career. You know, and for somebody like Miranda Maverick, you got to think, look, okay, this was a time when I put in enough work, dedication to win the fight. Like I said, my honest opinion, she did enough to win round one and two. Like, after going into round three, my mind frame was Macy had to stop her, right? I think that's a lot of people's mind frame when they were watching this fight closely. Miranda Maverick outstruck Macy Barber clearly in the first two rounds, effective takedown in the second round, bang, 2-0. Third round comes, Macy all of a sudden just changes everybody's mind and boom, she wins the fight. You know what I mean? So that's the type of things you have to look out for. You know, young fighters have to see that, because like Miranda now has to deal with this robbery. Okay, her fans might agree, and hundreds and thousands of people and millions of people might agree. Like I did my video talking about it as a robbery. Pretty much everybody agreed with me. You know, over almost 1,000 people seen the video now, and they all think Miranda Maverick was robbed. But that's still not enough, because it's still going down as an L on your resume, and then it's going to affect your money. So with judges, they affect your money with these type of moves. You know, we can call it robbery all day. We can say you did enough to beat that person. You have their number, but they got the W, you got the L, but they got the bag. It's still going to come down to money. They'll still make more money to you, because the next thing is when judges do things like this, they affect your ranking. They affect your ranking, you know, and they affect who you fight. You know, you drop in ranking. You know, with Miranda, she's going to be from 14 to maybe 15 now. And now with that ranking, you're not up in line up to face top level competition now. You know, you're going to be facing lesser opponents if they have their way. If the matchmaker say, oh, you lost this fight, we're not going to give you a number 8 or number 9 now. We're going to give you an unranked or somebody right below you or above you. While somebody like Macy, they move up. You know, they move up. So you're still going to be on prelims, and your longer goals will be kind of shut down at the time. You know, so progression is a thing. You know, judges stop your progression. You know, they have that in their hands to stop your progression. That's why I say we need better judges, man. You know, we need better judges that understand they have the fighter's career in their hands, and they have to judge this thing on a fair scale and a similar scale to the person sitting next to them. You know, that's why we say to judges, you have to fight all three of them plus your opponent, is because they're looking for three different things when they need to all kind of be on the same page at this point. You know, because I think it's clear, like I said, I feel she won. And even if a fan of Macy Barber can say she felt she won, Miranda Maverick won, then that's telling you something, right? So yeah, man, it's just like that. You just got to look at all of this, man. Judges, they affect your money, they affect your rank, your position, your progression. And with Miranda now, like I said, this is kind of a setback, which might be a good thing. Now she can go back and work on some things that she necessarily didn't have in this fight. She can perfect those things and move on, you know? So moving on from here, yeah, of course, it's going to slow the progression down, but you can also see a positive to it as well, you know. But I understand that's something that these young fighters got to look out for. You know, judges, man, they, you know, this is something they have to look out for. We need better judges, man. We need better judges. Somebody asked me this the other night, like, what do I think, like, can be done about the judges? Well, I think you need to get people who are familiar with the fight game. You got to get former trainers and trainers. You got to get former fighters, and you have to get these type of fighters and trainers that, of course, they're in no relation or they have no affiliation with those camps of fighters. They can show no favoritism. Of course, that can all be ironed out at some point. But, you know, you got to have those fighters that don't have any affiliation and just want to be able to judge a good fight, or not a good fight, but just judge a fight. You know, just want to be able to sit back and judge a fight. Also, there has to be some type of crash course or semester where these judges have, if they're going to do this, if they never fought before, they have to go into some type of training and watch fights and understand what to look out for, what should be scored and how it can be scored in a fair way. You know, some type of scoring where it's like, okay, you have to understand what is a significant effective strike, when a takedown should be considered as a big jump over someone controlling you with their hands all day. You know, combinations and stand-up control for about three minutes of a round should be rated higher than just one takedown. You know, one takedown should not change the course of a round. Like even with Velasquez taking down Kielholtz in the third round, Kielholtz was out striking her, but with Kielholtz, I went back and watched the fight again, like a fourth time. And, you know, with Kielholtz getting taken down by Velasquez, I think that persuaded the judges to just say, we're going to give it off a takedown, you know. So there's got to be some type of course for these fighters, you know, for these judges to come into play to make them understand fighting, especially if they never fought before, you know? So yeah, man, that's something that fighters have to look out for, man. Just judges, man. Like, that's something that we've been having a problem with, just competent judges. Some fighters not even watching the fights, you know? It affects everything. Like I said, money, rank, progression, everything. But yeah, shout out to Kill Holtz and shout out to Maverick, man. Cause you know, we got to see a sport do better. You know, I know we say don't leave it in hands of the judges, but that's what the purpose of having judges, man, that are going to be fair and know what they're looking at. You know, next thing I do want to mention now that we deal with in this era, in today's dark time, is the pandemic. As y'all know, Amanda Nunes, she had tested hot. And like I said, just to warn y'all again, I never say the actual thing when I put this on YouTube because it triggers the videos and it tags those words and it goes through this whole different thing. So I just say testing hot or testing positive. So try to keep it to that. Or the big C, like Robert Henry said. yeah, Amanda Nunes, she came up positive. So her fight is off with Juliana Pena this coming Saturday, August 7th, UFC 265. And yeah, it's just another thing we have to kind of deal with. Like, the pandemic is a part of this world. It's part of everybody's career now in their workplace. So my first reaction was, I'm not surprised, you know. It's like I said back in March when this whole thing started and I knew how bad it was and how these numbers were spiking, just being on the inside around it, there came a point where I was like, oh man, like, this seems worse than anything we ever had. Like, I was like, mark my words, it's probably going to be a norm now. It's going to be a norm to a point where just like, it's going to be like a twisted ankle. You know what I mean? Like, we're just going to see this as much as we see fighters having to pull out because of injuries, just regular injuries. So I wasn't really shocked because right now, you know, there's been so many lifts in every state. You know, my state's already lifted a couple months ago. They already lifted the mask mandation. Everybody's just walking around free again. And the numbers are kind of going up. They're not like before, but they are going up. So I understand, like, Nunes, Ansaroff, our baby, they all have it. And I think right now Nunes is asymptomatic, but she's still carrying it. So being around a lot of people is going to be part of the thing. You know, people in your gym, you see a lot of these people in the gym not wearing masks anymore. Trainers, promoters, they're not wearing masks anymore. They still, you know, they don't want to take that precaution. They still feel it's okay. So you're going to start seeing that more and more. For Amanda Nunes, I truly believe it's real. You know, she's not making it up. Some people were going as far as to say it's a duck, but I'm like, no, this thing is real. It is real. Nobody really plays like this. I mean, in the boxing world, fighters like Teofimo and Tyson Fury, I don't know, like, they've been kind of throwing that out there at the right moment. And then they're still out and about going on vacation and not taking proper precautions. So fighters like them, I think they do kind of play that card a little bit. But for somebody like Amanda, who always shows up to fight and has two belts, she's not someone to turn down a fight like that or try to push it back. I think she really, you know, was diagnosed, tested positive, and that's for sure. That's for sure. And we see a lot of the MMA fighters, you pretty much can guarantee that they're not lying about it. You know, fighters like Ebos and Calvillo, you've kind of seen it affect them. Even Calvillo, when she did come back, you kind of seen it affect their performance a little bit. So I believe these fighters. But yeah, that's something that we have to look out for now. We don't know, like, with this new variant, we might go right back to 2020 where there's no crowds. Or they might have to stop the cards. You know, they might really have to come down with restrictions and just really, you know, bring it down to barely anybody, stripping it down to where there's nobody in the octagon, you know, in the arena now. You know, so that's something that, you know, a lot of fighters on the come up now, they have to kind of think about too. You know, this is one of those hard things. You know, pandemic is slowing the money down. You know, every time a fighter pulls out, you know, that's money down the drain. You know, training, the vaccination, because, you know, vaccination still not stopping it, you know, because she was vaccinated. you know, the test, all the money going into, you know, the food you eat, again, training camps, all of that, you know, your manager's money, your trainer's money, all of that down the drain, you know, you miss a payday. So it's another form of, like the judges of slowing you down here. Of course, this is when you can't really help now, but yeah, man, it's something we have to really understand, even as fans. Like, when something happens like this, we just can't go out there and just say, oh, this person's ducking and this person's trying not to fight this person. They don't want to fight. They're lazy. Nah, it ain't like that. It ain't like that, man. It's real. But yeah, my thoughts on the pandemic, though, I think it's going to be here for a while, man. Because like I said, like, they're not really waiting fully until numbers go down. As soon as they do go down like a little bit, everybody thinks it's okay. And they just start partying like it's all good. You know, I've still been taking my precautions, man. Like, some things I let up on, but I still try to keep my mask on. And I wish everybody else would, because it did bring down the cold and flu cases down, but they're kind of going back up, you know. Still haven't even joined my gym again. You know, I was thinking about that, but I still haven't went back to my own gym. So I don't know, man. I think this thing is here to stay, but all the fighters, you know, even Amanda, you know, hope they can recover fully, you know, hopefully Nina, her baby, and Amanda, they can recover fully. So, you know, just sending that shout out. Hopefully they can fully recover 100% and kind of move on from this. But yeah, another thing, man, I want to talk about. Another thing, this one just I had to add in for sure from last night. That's why I kind of put this episode back, was missing weight. Missing weight. And I'm not talking about the fighters that miss weight. I'm talking about the hardship on the fighters that are prepared only to have their opponent pull out because of missed weight. And in this case, we have a fight cancellation most recently, Nico Montano versus Wu Yanan. So this is for the fighter in Wu Yanan's position. The fighter that came in prepared, they have to be prepared for this type of disappointment and this type of you know, obstacle, where someone else isn't dedicated and they come in overweight and they cancel your fight. So that's another thing that's out of your hands. What goes on in their camp, you know, it's out of your hands, and it can mess your money up. It can mess your, it can just mess up your path as well. So in Wu Yanan's case, prepared for the fight, trained, did everything she was supposed to, only to have her opponent, Nico Montano, miss weight by 8 pounds. You know, that's a major letdown on a fighter. For Wu Yanan, that's a major letdown physically and mentally. You know, we already know what these fighters have to go through. Grueling training camps, drills, getting their mind right in the place it needs to be. You know, there's like a stage to it. You know, there's a stage in the gym and training. Then there's a stage that they go through when they get on the scales. Then there's that stage they go through once they get off the scales and they face their opponent. You know, imagine Wu Yanan carrying that load, that fire, all the way up until, boom, Nico Montano, 8 pounds over, 143 pounds. You hear that and you're like, oh my God, all that training that I did, everything I went through, putting myself through this test, you know, the vaccination, everything, you know, all of this, man. It's like, oh wow, my opponent just messed up my back, you know. Of course, I'm gonna get my show money, but that's it. I mean, will I even get a piece of their show money where they get fined? I don't know. You know, so imagine how that fighter feels, like Wu Yanan right now. Put yourself in her shoes. Major letdown, man. You know, and again, like I said, it hurts their pockets. Fight camps, management, trainers, again, vaccination, all of that. You know, so this one here, it's out of your hands, of course, like if your opponent tested positive, but it could still be prevented. on that fighter A, the one that missed weight, their part. You know, Nico Montano, it should have been on her from day one when this fight was announced to get right on it, get on her discipline and say, I'm going to make 135. I'm going to make 135. I'm going to do it. But when it came down to maybe a week out or 2 weeks out, and you know you weren't near that weight, it was on her to say, I can't do it. Let me pull out so Wu Yanan won't miss out on a fight opportunity. And we can get her lined up with a replacement, you know? You know, so there is somebody to blame here. Like I said, I'm not here to bash Nico's character or whatever's going on with the documentary. I still need to see it by myself. But in this particular situation that we're talking about right now, not even factoring that in, it's very unprofessional, you know, and that's coming from somebody that, like with Nico, was a supporter of Nico on the Tough House. I think she can fight and she's a good fighter. She's tough, but the outside influences, the mental is not strong. The discipline is not there. And I say that about anybody. Like when Tank Davis would miss weight, I would say it's unprofessional. Any of these fighters who miss weight, I say that's unprofessional, you know. And for you to ride it all the way to the scales and come in tipping the scales of 8 pounds, that's kind of unprofessional, and it's messed up on that part, because now your opponent, they miss out. Like I said, they miss out on a path of growing, getting their money, similar to a fighter that was robbed. You robbed them. Like, this is another case of robbery. Like, anytime a fighter does this, there is no, oh, it's, you know, there is no argument. This is blatant robbery. You took this person's opportunity, you know? So that's something that Nico needs to work on, man. Like, from here moving forward, like, I don't know if she should be fighting a featherweight or if she should be fighting in the UFC anymore. But if it's always going to come down to this, featherweight might be her answer if she wants to fight. But if she's going to continue to do things like this, then, you know, I don't think she should be here, right? Really, until she can get on her right path of being disciplined. Cause, I mean, Sarge, she came straight out and said, Sarge said, look, I had to get right emotionally, spiritually, physically, all of that. And it's kind of put me in a mind frame to get to the right weight. Now I'm eating right. Now I'm doing the right things I need to do to be a flyweight, which made sense because she looked good at it. Like, this time around, she didn't look like hell to make flyweight. So it can be done. And, you know, we're not even talking about flyweight for Nico. We're talking about 135, you know. So if you're going to call that weight, you got to own up to it, man. So, yeah, this is another one of those things, man. But, yeah, shout out to Wu Yanan, you know, for coming in prepared. I just hope that – I wish they could have got a late replacement for her. But, you know, I hope in the future, you know, Nico wises up or, you know, makes that choice to say I'll stay away from fighting until – I'm at a better place physically with myself. So, yeah, man, that's something that a fighter like Wu Yanan and young fighters, they got to look out for, you know, people pulling out because of missing weight, you know, can't do anything about it. And you got to know how to come down from the high of wanting to fight. And last but not least, man, the major one, like I said, the one that we all look at, like we've had several of these this past week as well. All of this has been balled up in like the past couple weekends, but injuries, you know, we were going to have that explosive card with Sarge taking on Priscilla Cachoeira. Oh man, that just didn't go right. You know, Priscilla Cachoeira has some legal issues going on. She's out. At least Reed and Sarge matched up. Of course, the Macy and Miranda fight didn't go the way we wanted. You know, wasn't judged fairly. And then we had Aspen Ladd versus Mace Chason. That fight got canceled. Why? Injury. You know, Mace Chason had a stressed foot, stressed fracture, and it was something that acted up in training again and to the point where she couldn't walk or really perform on it. So she had to pull out of the fight. Thankfully, the fight's rescheduled for August 2nd, but that was something that we had to look out for, even as on our side as fans, but something somebody like Aspen Ladd has to look out for, you know, last minute pullouts like that, cancellations because of injuries, you know. And the big one here, Tatiana Suarez, September, what, 25th, UFC 266 against Roxanne Modafferi, supposed to be fighting Roxanne Modafferi. Another injury, her knee, serious knee injury she had, you know, she posted on her IG. And yeah, man, just really focusing on Tatiana with this, you know, and the injuries. This is something, you know, even as a fighter, you have to really, really consider, man, especially whenever you had injury after injury after injury. You know, is it wise to continue to try to put yourself through training camps and put yourself through the hell to try to get there if an injury is always going to come up or if you're always going to reawaken something? You know, we go back to Tatiana back in 2019, taking on Nina Ansaroff. You know, she suffered an injury before the fight, because I know in the third round she, I think it was the neck again acting up. But I remember an interview she did where she said she was wrestling with somebody. She was on the mat wrestling, and I think she got in for the body lock, and her head, you know, was in the arm of her partner, and she went to, I think she went for the body lock, and her head hit the wall, and she heard like a crack. I was like, oh shoot, you know, she hit the crack, you know. And then there was another point where she had the disc problem in her back, and then she broke her hand, and it was just like, wow, like all these injuries in training, and now this serious knee injury. You know, it's just like so much going on here. Like, when is there a point where you kind of think to yourself, like, is it wise for me to try to get back in whenever I have so many injuries? It's not like one, you know, it's not like one that always has like a broken wrist, you know, or brittle hands. Like Floyd Mayweather had brittle hands. He just changed the style up. You know, he just changed the style up. But when you're a fighter that has a knee, a back, a neck injury, you know, it starts coming into question, should I be in there? You know, should I be in the octagon at this point? And that's something I see a lot of people talking about. You know, they've been saying, will she be back? Some people just straight up say, I don't think she will. I don't think she'll ever fight again. And I would like to see her come back. Honestly, I would love to see Tatiana come back. And that's the fan part of me. And the fan part of me is disappointed that the fight's not happening, because, you know, this fight held a lot of weight for her. But the caring part of me way outweighs the fight in me so much that I'm the type of person that wants to, that cares about this person's well-being more so. And I love to see her just ride off in the sunset and not even worry about fighting anymore if the injuries are that bad. Like if the knee injury is that severe, because the knees are critical to fighting. Shout out to Gordon Morris. He kind of broke it down to me about the knee injuries he's suffering from. And I don't know if I want to go ahead all through the personal stuff. Well, he did put up the comment section, but you know, he just kind of broke it down, not even in a fighting manner, but how dangerous it is. And how painful it can be and how stressful it can be, you know, trying to, you know, just walk on bad knees, you know. Matter of fact, I was just looking at one of his comments he made. Yeah, this is a comment he made on my Suarez video that I'll just kind of read through to y'all about Tatiana. But this is what he said. You know, it's a terrible setback, because while the knee is healing, this is coming from somebody that, you know, has knee injuries, like I said, and it kind of give you the experience here. Gordon Morris said, it's a terrible setback because the knee is healing, the leg muscles and every other muscle is dormant and losing mass and strength, right? Yeah, I know that too. Yeah, like once this part of your leg, like your knee, is sitting, you know, is injured, there's other parts that can't be worked. So every other muscle is dormant and losing mass and strength, it's so hard to maintain conditioning with the bad injury. And like you said, Connor and Chris, you know, they'll take a long time to regain that former strength too. Yeah, Chris Weidman, just so y'all know, Chris Weidman has another surgery date lined up for August, because the bone isn't healing the way it's supposed to be. You know, the bone's not healing the way it's supposed to be in Chris Weidman's leg. So he has another surgery coming up. So you imagine that. Let's see. Gordon also said, even if Tony Ferguson seemed weaker in general after his comeback from his knee injury, his knee was fixed, but his overall muscle tone was visibly aged, right? Less taut looking, I think. They all may never be the same as they once were physically. Tatiana, too, and maybe Roxanne's strength and striking would have evolved more had she not repeatedly been sidelined with knee injuries. As one who broke both knees myself, Fernanda Gordon, and seriously injured slash dislocated them more than once, I can testify to what it does to your overall physical strength. It diminishes it greatly. Tatiana's saga is tragic, but because of the promising prospect she was. On the other hand, Luke Rockhold seemed to come back pretty quickly, if I recall, and he still looked buff. Yeah, he looked buff. Yeah, but I know the strength wasn't as much there, but yeah, he was buff. But yeah, shout out to Gordon Morris, though. Yeah, I just wanted to read that part, share that part with y'all, because like I said, like suffering two knee injuries, and Gordon also just went on, like he said, he suffered injuries back in high school football, you know, getting clipped in high school football practice and motorcycle accident. So it's a long, he wrote a long piece. So I mean, I'll share the video here for y'all if y'all want to read it. I mean, he spilled a lot about his injury, and you can just kind of go back and look at some of the things that, you know, you can really go back and look at what a knee injury can cause. Like when the knee goes, it's almost like so many other things go. Like even for Roxanne, like Roxanne had knee surgery. So Roxanne's, you know, her movement, her strength and her power is going to be different. So many things are going to be different in there, man. So for Tatiana, she just had so many injuries. It's like, is it worth coming back to fight for? And that's a question. Y'all answer that for me too. What do y'all think? Is it worth coming back? I mean, for me, I'm kind of 50-50 on it, just because I think there's always going to be that flame in this person. Like if they retire now, mentally, their mind is always going to be somewhere else. And there's always going to be some type of stress where they didn't get a chance to release it, or at least try, or at least, you know, being a fighter, they want to go out on a warrior shield. You know, they want to die trying, right? Not all the time. Nobody really wants to fit, you know, not die, but they want to at least put that fighter on the line. In the warrior in there, and that warrior spirit dies in there, I think they would feel happier knowing that they tried. So it's just the warrior spirit. Oh yeah, that's the name of Nico's documentary too, right? But yeah, I think one part of me wants to say I think Tatiana should give it a go if she can get the knee right, just to see where she could go with this. But if something happens again, I don't know if she should come back. Like if the neck acts up again, I don't know if she should come back, man, for real. Sadly, no. I mean, like I said, there's been other fighters I talked about the other night that had to end it very early in the game that had promise, you know, like Veronica Rothenhausler. You know, she was like a promising lightweight, featherweight, big fighter that was kind of like going to be the answer to beating Ronda Rousey. You know, she was like a one-hitter quitter fighter, but she suffered some bad injuries, head injuries and concussions. And I think it was in training and sparring. And, you know, she had to leave. She had to leave very early. That was like 8 or 9 years ago now. But yeah, she was a promising fighter. But Tatiana, I know we kind of seen her reach a certain level, and she's like a couple fights shy away from getting, you know, a title shot. And it's kind of hard not to see that happen. But that's kind of like the selfishness in me. But if the knee doesn't get right by the end of this year, if she can't come back by the end of this year, then I would really, like, for myself, just say I don't think she should come back, because that would be another 3 years and just so many things going on with her, you know? Yeah. But y'all let me know what y'all think. But yeah, man, there's some hard choices in the game, man. Like I said, being a fighter, these are the little things we don't think about. You know, we always think about just getting punched in the face, you know, getting knocked out, coming back from a loss and things like that, you know, finding the right gym, eating right. But there's these other hardships in the game that we have to look at as fans and young fighters, if y'all are listening, young up-and-coming boxers, MMA fighters, you know, if y'all are listening to this show, these are the hardships. Some of the hardships y'all got to deal with today. You know, you got to deal with incompetent judges. You got to deal with the pandemic. You got to deal with undisciplined opponents, missing weight. Then you got to deal with injuries. Maybe not your injuries, but other fighters' injuries. That's going to slow your progression down. So, yeah, man, it's crazy, man. You know, with all these obstacles, though, like I said, it's a part of the sport. anything in life has its negatives in similar ways. But the fight game, you know, it's just something that requires a lot of deep thought and consideration. I mean, let's be real, you know, there are some things in life you can go straight for, like certain goals you can go straight for, and people don't say fall back on, you know, without a plan B. But when it comes to fighting, honestly, you do need something to fall back on. Let's be real, because fighting is only like a piece of your life. It's not your whole life. Like for somebody going to be a filmmaker or an actor, yeah, you can take that. That's longevity in that. If focus on that, there's no injury there. But for fighting, you need a plan B. Like being in the military, you need a plan B. You get injured, you come back home, you got to fall back on something. You know, you got to have the plan B. You know, fighting, you need something to fall back on, because there's some things that's going to happen you can't overcome. Like I said, everything I named, those hardships right there, injury you can't come back from, pandemic puts you out for good, judges continue to rob you and just take you out of the mind frame of being a fighter, and you want to quit. You got to get ready to do something else. You all of a sudden can't make weight. You know what I mean? So there has to be a plan B for fighters, you know, and I think fighters like Joanna, they're looking at it in that perspective. You know, Joanna's done her thing. She's not beating her body up as much anymore. Of course, she needs to fight at least once this year, but she has the mind frame of a person thinking of self-preservation. You know, Joanna has done her time and she knows she can't fight two or three times a year. Like she said, she wants to have a baby one day, you know, and we don't know how the things can go. She's making more money out of the UFC now, right? So hint, hint, maybe it'd be time to retire. But yeah, maybe she's just looking at it that way, where this is my other plan B. My plan B is becoming my plan A. Miranda Maverick, another one, you know, going for a PhD, wants to be a fighter, but she has an end game plan to it. You know, doesn't want to be fighting well into her 30s. She's not a career fighter. You know, she wants to just fight to the point she can go for the belt and then retire and then go back into the PhD. So, yeah, you need a plan B with so much going on in fight game, man, like as far as these hardships, man, because not everybody's going to be for you. Some people are going to be against you. There's always a machine pushing one fighter. So if you're not knocking people out, you got to be prepared. You got to be prepared for that. But yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got on this show, man. I just want to come back, like I said, and iron that one out a little bit, because, man, like over the past weekend, like I said, so many crazy things, like fight cancellations because of injuries, man, because of the pandemic. Then fights not going the way we want. You know, fights not going the way we want because of bad judges, or where they should go because of bad judges. And then fights not even happening because of weight issues, you know? So yeah, man, it's crazy, man. But yeah, guys, that's all I got on this one. Yeah, like I said, I'm gonna post this episode, you know, where I post it, go to iTunes, Spotify, and I think Google Play is still around. Yeah, Google Play is supposed to be gone soon, but yeah, still on Google Play. And Stitcher, and of course on my YouTube channel. We definitely be on the YouTube channel as always, man. And just comment there what y'all think about everything I talked about, those four hardships about for fighters, man. But yeah, man, like always, Combo Breaker 99, just make sure y'all subscribe where the podcast is, hashtag CB99 Talks. Just type it in there and, you know, subscribe, leave a good review, and, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99, guys. And I'll see y'all on the next episode.